Okay, good morning. It's 10:30 exactly, so since the faithful is here, those of us who really, really want to examine and explore how to work more effectively with our women and girls, as well as our men and boys, you're here, and you're here at 8:30, so we're going to not delay and just get started. My name is Mary Bowers. I am a social worker by training. And I am with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health in Washington, D.C. Today we are exploring gender and the impact it has on HIV risk. And we're looking at it from a national perspective on gender-responsive strategies. First of all, I'd like to thank Mighty Fine, who is with the American Public Health Association, for organizing this particular session. We do know that gender is a social determinant of health that intersects with other social determinants of health, such as poverty, our laws and policies, sex-racial imbalances or our population, stratifications in the population, socioeconomic issues in the in our society. So if you look and you understand social determinants of health, you always see gender. But it's one of those social determinants of health that we in the U.S. are not talking about that much. All of you know that globally it's widely recognized and in fact mandated that we establish gender-based programming and interventions, particularly toward women and girls. And so we are beginning to, and we have been for years now, discussing, exploring, examining gender and what that might mean in our country, which is a wealthy country. All of us know about it from a developing country perspective. Now, what we did in the U.S. Department of Health Office on Women's Health is in June of 2010, we held a two-day forum, called Bringing Gender Home, Implementing Gender-Responsive HIV/AIDS Programming for U.S. Women and Girls. This is a special supplement of Women Health Issues, which is a peer-review journal that's put out by George Washington University and published by Elsevier. And after we finish, some of you, if you're interested in getting this, I can get your information and try to get it to you. I want to read a couple of statements out of here, and then I'll introduce our presenters that will take you through some things that we should examine related to gender. Barbara Bloom and Stephanie Covington define gender-responsive programming as creating an environment that reflects an understanding of the realities of women's lives and addresses issues of the participants of your programs. When we did the gender forum, there were recommendations that came out of that two-day forum that we correlated to the national HIV/AIDS strategy. And before turning this over to our presenters, there were some recommendations that were particularly highlighted. One is the need flagged as a priority in PEPFAR, which are global programs, for integration of HIV prevention and treatment services with sexual and reproductive health services and services to prevent and treat the effects of gender-based violence. And as you know, in this country, there is a working group established by the president, administered by the Office of National AIDS Policy, to, in fact, examine and work on recommendations around curbing gender-based violence in our country. And in fact, Frances Ash Goins, who's here in the audience, who is the Deputy Director for the Office on Women's Health, is a member of that working group out of the Office of National AIDS Strategy. So integrating sexual and reproductive health services was key. was a key recommendation. The need for expanded access to sexual and reproductive health and gender-based violence prevention services, particularly in communities with high HIV prevalence, to effectively reduce women's and girls' HIV risk and to retain those who are HIV positive in medical care. The need for more and better correctional health care and prevention services, including integrated HIV, sexual reproductive health, mental health, and gender-based violence services for women and girls during incarceration and post-release to prevent recidivism, reduce HIV risk, and ensure ongoing care for those who are HIV positive. And last, the need to explicitly assess, document, and address the HIV-related needs of women and girls in highly marginalized populations, including those living in U.S. territories, in Native American communities, those who sell sex or engage in survival sex, transgender women, and those whose access to health care and benefits is compromised by their legal status, such as illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants, illegal drug users, people with criminal records, and et cetera. So today our presenters are that will help us examine some of our issues or understanding and application around gender integration. Extreme left, Tejan Braithwaite Renderas, has a master's in public health from Yale School of Public Health. She is currently a consultant with JSI Boston, and she works on a variety of HIV capacity building and evaluation projects. Tejan Braithwaite. I have difficulty with her English name, Renderas. I do very well. Robert Foley is president. I'm sorry, before we get to Robert, I'll do Naima. Morales Kosia has an MS in public health from Tulane University. She, too, is a consultant with JSI Atlanta, and she, too, works on a variety of HIV capacity building and evaluation projects. Last but not least, our male member of our presenters. Robert Foley is president and CEO of the National Native American AIDS Prevention Center. He has worked professionally in HIV work for 12 years. Previously to his HIV work, he focused on substance abuse and domestic violence. He has a master's in education from Colorado State University with a specialty on needs, on special needs populations. Let me just say that JSI Boston and Atlanta, as well as the National Native American AIDS Prevention Center, are both cooperative agreement grantees for the Office on Women's Health, and they serve as capacity building assistance organizations for both our grantees, but largely to provide training around gender. And what we're doing in a very abbreviated form is talking about gender as we are attempting to lay this out in a gender toolkit that is currently internally being reviewed, and we will take it through a clearance process so that this will be one of our first domestic toolkits for increasing an understanding around gender integration and also application of gender integration in overall programming toward women and girls. And it can also be used for your programming toward men and boys. It just increases our understanding. So I'm going to turn it over first to Robert Foley.